Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the dominion of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for human beings." Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the dominion of heaven and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Some of you will remember about a decade ago, our intern was Rebecca Lund. She's now, I might add, in New York State and has taken a recent call there. I remember a story that she told about her grandfather. She and her grandfather were out fishing, and they were pulling a few fish in, but it was Sunday morning. And Rebecca said to her grandfather, "Grandpa, shouldn't we be in church instead of out here fishing?" And her grandfather said, "Rebecca, would you rather be in church thinking about fishing or out fishing thinking about church?" Well, with apologies to her grandfather, we're all gathered here today in church, and we're going to think about fishing. First of all, however, I want to alert us to the way that story begins. Jesus hears that John has been arrested. What would you do if your friend, your predecessor, your forerunner, that person who shared the great good news with you, was arrested by the authorities, and you know likely what his outcome is going to be? And Jesus knows that he carries a similar message to John. So he realizes that he is carrying the same fate. So what does Jesus do? It says he withdraws. And who could blame him? But Jesus isn't hiding out. I think he's gathering himself. It doesn't say so, but I suspect, perhaps prayerfully, he is preparing to take John's place and more. Jesus is preparing to come out in a way from which there is no returning, no going back. Jesus is preparing to come out in a way that will change the world forever. His proclamation will challenge the empire that controls all the known world. His proclamation will challenge the religious elite of his own people. Our text announces that Jesus moves along the trajectory of the great prophets, particularly Isaiah, who is quoted, and it's why we read that lesson from Isaiah today. It is as if the text is saying, give him a moment. Jesus is about to transform the whole world. We read these texts, we ponder them, because Jesus' proclamation, his life, his ministry, and finally his death and resurrection promise to reach into our history, into our lives with transformative power. It's a simple phrase in that verse 17, from that time. But it's an extraordinary phrase because it announces that nothing before nor anything after can ever be the same. These are words that are announcing a new creation, a new world order, a new way of living. The light of creation itself, a new creation, is shining in the chaos and the darkness. As did the prophets of old, Jesus calls for all those who hear him to repent. That is to turn from the status quo, to turn from an ordering of society which dehumanizes, which impoverishes, which devalues people. The status quo is the empire with its military, oppressive taxation, with its violent order. The status quo is the local and national leaders who maintain elite status and prosper by collaborating with the Roman powers. The status quo is all the ways we benefit from not following Jesus to bring life to others. The status quo is the darkness into which the light of the realm of God, or as Matthew says, the realm of heaven comes near, manifest in the very person of Jesus the Christ. Can we give him a moment for this? He's coming out. He's coming out to transform the world, to change all of reality. And how does he do it? He calls a couple of fishermen. Whoa, Daddy. And then two more. How extraordinary. Doesn't seem like much, but these calls, these simple calls, are the very beginning of the reordering of the whole world, perhaps the universe itself. And with a fishing metaphor, in that context, in that life, in that world of the Roman Empire, Rome owned all the fish. They owned the sea. It was by rights theirs. So fish were simply instruments of taxation. And fishermen bore no elevated status. So Jesus is calling them out of a world of oppression and dehumanization into a new life with a purpose, with a calling. For what? To create new orders of community which value all with equality and care, which gives status as children of God, a new identity, a new sense of family. One question I always ask, and I say that we should lay on our hearts each day, is how broad is our sense of family and community? And is it not the very fundamental question facing our country now? How broad is our sense of family? Who belongs and who doesn't? Who can come in and who can't? What makes us great? What makes anyone great? What gives us status? What gives us life, abundant life, value, and meaning? Fishing for human beings means this: encountering others with a sense of value and worth. It means establishing communities in which all lives matter. It means naming and fishing for those who have long not mattered. Black lives matter. Women's lives matter. GLBTQIA+ lives matter. Fishing for human beings anticipates reconciling in Christ. The realm of God, which Jesus announces and which Jesus himself embodies, is the promise of life for all, of acceptance and care for all, status of full humanity for all as children of God. The good news, and the one who brings and embodies this good news, is healing and it is transformative, with no charge, no tax. A free gift. what made Jesus' society so sick and what makes ours sick as well was the depth of dehumanization, the impoverishment of individuals physically and psychologically and spiritually. In the context of today's service, our recognizing, reconciling in Christ, we know that rejection, that prejudice, that discrimination do not bring healthy outcomes. We also know that it is spiritual sickness and disaster for society to perpetuate and encourage such dehumanization. Today, we know that Jesus is calling this community of GLBTQIA plus folks to follow him, to be part of the community and realm of God. And so as we have experienced it in our very community, as I was trying just in my brief comments downstairs, as we think about our mission going into the future, as we have experienced it in our community at Bethel to be light to us and in the world, it's not that just our welcome gives light. It is those that come to us that even shine more light into our hearts. So, now when Jesus saw that John had been arrested, he withdrew. He knew that in bringing light, he would bear the darkness of the whole world. The power of status and privilege, the power of sin, the power of darkness, the power of death would fight him. But Jesus comes out. This bearing of darkness is the power of the cross. Jesus will not abandon any to darkness and death. That means both the darkness that we experience, the darkness that befalls us, but also the darkness that we cause, that we perpetrate. The cross tells us that. The resurrection tells us that forgiveness and the power of life in God through Christ Jesus, however, is ours. Jesus withdraws to the tomb briefly, but he comes out. He goes to heaven, we say, but he comes out to be present with us, to live with us. And so now, aren't we back to the calling of those two characters, those two fishermen, those four? Is not now Jesus calling us to come out into the light, into life, to fish for human beings, to bring life, to be reconciling? Amen.